8 o'clock. Thanks for joining us, Jim and the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. It's Thursday. Good to be back with you. Masters right now suspended due to weather. They'll be back in the course coming up in about half an hour.
I got suspended for a lot of things. Weather was never one of them.
Name a couple of things you got. You never got suspended from school.
Attendance. So language.
Really? So you got suspended from school.
Suspension, yeah.
Okay. Well, suspension.
Yeah.
But never, like, they sent you home.
No.
Okay, never went that far.
No, they told me to sit in this little room and not do anything. Oh, okay, what a punishment. I was doing the same thing in class, sitting there not doing anything.
You want the bull, you're going to get the horns.
Yeah. Don't threaten me with a good time.
So you were there by yourself. It wasn't like Breakfast Club where you got to dance with Molly Ringwald and...
No, I got released to go to
lunch. John Nelson.
Had to bring it back.
Estevez, yep. Yeah, you just had to sit there all by your lonesome.
Door open.
Do you know in Breakfast Club that originally Molly Ringwald was supposed to be the only one dancing? And then she was very self-conscious about how she danced. So she said, well, why can't we have everybody else do it too? So we all look like a bunch of idiots. And so that's
because it's the 80s. The lead girl has to be the one looking stupid.
They
not
all,
everybody.
They all ended up doing it.
Yeah.
All right. 8:01. We'll do around the NFL coming up a little bit. But Junior College Baseball World Series coming up. Memorial Day weekend here in Grand Junction, a team that has not been here since 2019, hopes to be back here to play in the Junior College World Series. Time to talk a little JUCO baseball this morning on the Jim Davis Show.
It's time to talk Alpine Bank Junior College Baseball World Series on the team.
And joining us right now on the team line, he's in his second year coaching the Iowa Western Reavers. He's been to Grand Junction before, though, winning a championship with Yavapai. And 2016, Iowa Western coach Ryan Kogel joins us. Ryan, appreciate the time. It's been a while. How you doing?
Jim, I'm well. Thank you. Yeah, it's been too long.
It has been too long. And like I said, it's been 2019 since the Reavers have been here. But it's now a couple of years into your time coaching out at Iowa Western. And kind of take us through what that's been like for you the last 2 years coaching this ball club.
Yeah, not quite twofold. Last year, first year, and last year was... 90 miles an hour in the left lane for sure. I mean, grateful Mark Reardon and his staff left it in pretty good shape. And then obviously the transition in was as smooth as could be with our leadership and their support, but still 90 miles an hour in the fast lane. So this year has been a little slower, a little more controllable, and a little more able to, plan it and kind of make it yours. But long story short, I mean, it's good baseball and it's great resources and obviously enjoying our players to date.
You mentioned this is your second season coaching Iowa Western now, all that time out at Yavapai. As I mentioned, you won a title in 2016. Mark always had the attitude, though, of playing teams in the West, getting out of the state of Iowa, playing the best competition. You've continued that trend as well, Ryan. But when you have your ways of doing things, your philosophy, but how important was it to have those three championships there that Mark won and having the table really kind of nicely set for you to come in and take over this program?
Well, I've done something similar at Yavapai where I took over for Sky Smelter, who had a lot of success. He was the all-time wins leader at Yavapai. So, I guess getting around the right people and learning from that situation where got much younger, never been a head coach before, taking over a program from Sky, who'd been to Grand Junction himself. And, the urge is maybe to not do it your way. And similar urge, similar experience taking over here at Iowa Western for Mark. And Mark, good coach, and you feel like, yourself, you look in the mirror, you had some success, and you learn from do's and you learn from don'ts, but I think ultimately you just got to do it your way. And that was the biggest experience, and I spoke with Mark briefly and spoke with Rob Fournier, who went with Mark over to Western Kentucky. And those guys were supportive and they said something very similar, that the transition they're going through there. So like, I think as coaches, that's the only thing you can do is do it your way. And whether you have success or failure, at least, you're responsible for it.
Ryan Kogel, head coach of Iowa Western, joining us on the Jim Davis Show. And that was the question I was going to ask you is, you've done this before. You took over at Yavapai. They had a long history of winning. It went back a little bit farther than the gap between the last win at Iowa Western. Are there any similarities, major differences between what you took over from John Wente and what you took over from Mark Reardon as opposed to just geographic location?
Well, yeah, I mean, again, I think if you're at a good program and if you have tradition, you're taking it over from not only the previous staff, and but previous staffs, plural. You know, Gary Ward, who got the program started at Yavapai, Dangler and Sosby, and you just keep on going. There were a lot of very successful head coaches prior to Sky Smelter and then prior to me when I took over for him. So, and the same thing at Iowa Western, right? Like, this thing started a long time ago, and there's been a lot of really good players and a lot of really good coaches. And then, obviously, you know, the most recent is in our mind, but I just you feel fortunate, but you also feel like, again, you have an opportunity, and the best way to take advantage of an opportunity is to kind of do it your way and have your organization and have your goals and have your mission and have your process. So the experience that I had, fortunate enough to be a young head coach and take over for Sky, who I'd known at Yavapai, probably was the greatest asset in coming into this transition for sure.
Ryan Kogel, coach of the Iowa Western Reavers, the number one team in the Division I junior college baseball rankings, joining us today, 32-5. You've won 15 straight. You've had an incredible start to conference play in the Iowa Community College Athletic Conference. I believe 16-0 in conference right now. It's been a fantastic start, Ryan, for the Reavers here in 2024.
It has, and I think probably, well, I know definitely the biggest reason I'm enjoying this team isn't necessarily the wins and losses, although winning is fun, right? The biggest reason I'm enjoying this team is because they're handling success. So I guess what I mean by that is they're able to keep the faith that they need to continue to get better, and winning isn't the end mission to date. It's the continuous process of getting better so that you can win, you know, at the end. And so they'll come in and they'll work after winning a game. Or they'll come in and work after winning a game and not playing to their potential. And so they've really done a good job of their maturity of breaking down and just learning to play the game. And things that they, as I say, things you stink at, just try not to stink at it so much.
I like that. Yeah, just try not to stink so much. Ryan Kogel, coach of Iowa Western, joining us in the program today. The Reavers, the number one team in the latest Division I NJCAA baseball poll. And like your predecessor, Mark Reardon, playing really good competition. Teams that come to Grand Junction win titles on a frequent basis. Weatherford College has been here. You opened up with them, and they were here just this last season at the Junior College World Series. You had a couple with McLennan, which won a title when Mitch Thompson was there. Travis Lalleman, Crowder College, they come here on a fairly frequent basis. You played against them and had some success in that series against the Rough Riders. And then Lefty Burroughs out at Arkansas City, Kansas, Cali College, which, of course, has been a runner-up here in Grand Junction and also a champion as well with his brother Dave. You played some really, really good teams, Ryan, to start out the season. And like you said, the record is certainly proof that you have a quality ball club with that 32-5 mark.
You know, I appreciate that. I think the things that you do in the preseason, it is absolutely play good competition. But the reason I appreciated the pre-conference schedule was Weatherford plays a different style of baseball than McLennan. And then Cali plays a different style of baseball than Crowder. And so you're able to really get a test of not only what you have as a team. I mean, you know when you go out that you're a good club and these other teams are good clubs, but it's more about the dynamics and the little things of, you know, how are you going to handle Cali in hitters counts? How are you going to handle Crowder in hitters counts? And those are two completely different teams. Cali was patient, and Cali sprayed the ball around the park and played really good defense. And Crowder, man, buckle up if you got a hitter's count. And then, you know, you go down there to their environment in Weatherford and in Texas, down in Tyler, when we played them. And that was what was probably the most valuable our preseason or our pre-conference games, is you're playing the ultimate dynamics of baseball. Teams that run, teams that bunt, teams that pitch, teams that, you know, don't strike out, teams that may strike out, but you better buckle up if you got a hitter's count. So I guess my point is, we were able to learn about a lot about our team, and then we were able to see that probably our biggest asset and our biggest strength is our own diversity within our club, our depth, you know, are the dynamics that we can play. We can have some power stuff come out of the bullpen, or we can just kind of navigate the strike zone a little bit. We can run some speed out, and then we can kind of run some guys that may strike out, but in our own right may handle hitters counts really well. So that's probably the greatest thing going into the conference schedule, which, you know, there's some pretty good baseball in Iowa as well. So, yeah, I mean, scoreboard aside, we were happy to be able to evaluate that stuff.
How do you carry those lessons forward from early February to where you do see some very talented pitching, where you beat McLennan, but you end up having 18 strikeouts against a really decent pitcher there, but also other times you get into some other series, you're scoring 90 runs over the course of a weekend, to maybe where the pitching isn't as good. How do you carry those lessons forward for 2 or 3 months when you're not necessarily facing the same caliber pitching deeper into the season as you did at the start?
Yeah, great question. I think the lessons learned is figuring out people's identity. So as soon as our players can get comfortable with their skill set and their identity, now you know how to use them and where to play them and how much to play them and what roles to play them in. And then they have some expectation with that. So life gets a little easier. The game gets a little easier when you just try to do what you're good at and you stop trying to do what you're not good at. And, you know, sometimes it takes a little bump on the chin to figure that part out. And, you know, the team aspect comes in where you run out and you face a really good arm in McLennan or the Tyler series, and you do get popped in the chin a little bit, but you find a way to overcome it and give your team success. So I think, to answer your question, the lesson is ongoing, and that is figure out who you are as a team. In order to do that, you got to figure out who your individuals are. And in order to do that, they have to trust who they are. And it takes success and failure for that to buy in. But I think ultimately, when these guys sit back and take out a note card and write down who they are as a player, their skill set, or, you know, their strengths and you know, their own, their strengths towards not only their own individual success, but the team success, then now you got something brewing, and now you can manage a roster and manage a team.
Iowa Western head baseball coach Ryan Kogel with us today, the number one team in the Division I NJCAA baseball poll, with us on the Team Sports Network. Now that you've been out in Iowa for a while, and you reference the good competition that's in the state of Iowa, you know, for so many years, nobody from Iowa could win here in Grand Junction until Mark Reardon changed that dynamic with what Iowa Western has been able to do, 3 national championships during Mark's run there. Now that you haven't been out there for a long time, Ryan, but kind of give me a comparison a little bit of what you're seeing from, you play obviously great non-conference competition, we talked about that, but what about baseball in the state of Iowa at the junior college level? Do you see that being comparable to other programs from Texas, from, of course, out in Arizona, your old stomping grounds? Is that level of competition comparable to what you see in terms of your non-conference? Because it used to always be the case where northern teams, now the Midwest, just didn't come out here and fare very well, but certainly Iowa Western's changed that. Wabash has also changed that story as well, coming out of Illinois.
Yeah, another good one. I think it's apples and oranges a little bit, meaning, you know, out west, specifically in Arizona, if you're referring to that, you had 7 Division I NJCAA schools in that Arizona conference. And so in Iowa, it's 3. And the Division II part of our conference in Iowa makes up the majority of our conference. And so what you're seeing is a lot of programs make national attention and national rankings. And then obviously at Southeastern, who fared really well in the Division II World Series last year. Kirkwood's been there. Iowa Central's been there. DMAC, Des Moines area's been there. And so I guess that's what I mean with a little bit of the parity in the conference. And division aside, you're getting tested day in and day out. And then you also see, I think, growing up in the Midwest, I didn't have this advantage when I was growing up. I think you're seeing the lengthen out and of the baseball season. Obviously, in Iowa, we have summer high school baseball, but with Omaha growing right next door to us, and with the Midwest baseball growing, I guess what I mean by growing is an increase of indoor facilities and an increase of exposure through facility growth to where guys, young men, can get out and at least train, compete on some level close to year-round if they so choose. I think that's why you see a lot of increase in the parity of specifically Midwest baseball. But good baseball is good baseball, Jim. I mean, I don't care what your zip code is, and I guess that would be my answer to your question is, good baseball is good baseball, and you know, how sunny or how warm it is in February has some to do with it, but probably not as much as some people might think.
Ryan Kogel, coach of Iowa Western, joining us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. Let's talk about your ball club, which is off to, like I said, a great start. Number one team in the nation, 32-5 record, undefeated in conference play. Your club hitting .380 right now, and that's always been kind of the norm for Iowa Western, always a great offensive club. And you got some guys that have really been swinging it. For example, A.J. Singer's got 46 RBIs for you on the season, 6 home runs. Kyle Hovedstein, am I getting that right?
Vidston, H
is silent. Vidston, thank you.
Like a Viking, yeah.
All right. Kyle Vidston, thank you. I appreciate that. 48 RBIs. He's got 13 home runs to lead your team. And then you've got Jackson Sorensen with 49 ribbies to lead your ball club in that category. He's got 4 home runs. Those three players have really had impressive starts to the season at the plate.
Yeah, this is the only thing I wasn't looking forward to this conversation was when we get into the individual side of things. I mean, it's so hard for me. Obviously, the numbers speak for themselves, but there's a lot. There's just not a hitter on our roster that if he's got to be in a lineup or I got to, you know, sub him in or something, I'm sitting there shaking in my boots. It's just very deep. It's very dynamic. You know, Vidston and Jax and Smith, Braden Smith and Singer. And now once you go there, you got to go to Josh Wakefield. And then you got to go to, you know, other everyday players and Eli Horner and then our catchers. You just got to keep going. So it's tough for me to talk about the individual performances because it's just the last thing that our guys talk about. And that's pretty unique, especially in the junior college world where a lot of times it's one and done. And you got to get your stats so you get your exposure, and they get all that. But it is an offensive club, and Miles Kaiser, who runs our offense and really handles the offensive development side of things. Again, he's with me in year two, coming from Yavapai, so he's kind of been able to lay his roots and get the offensive philosophies and that side of things kind of nailed down and hammered in, not only with the recruiting class, but then with returners.
Ryan Kogel with us today on the Team Sports Network. And so we'll just from an overview standpoint, we don't have to focus on individual guys if you don't want to, Ryan. But, you know, certainly from a pitching standpoint, it's been really good, almost as impressive as your offense, 3.79 ERA. Noah Scott's got a 6-0 start to the season. Buddy Brands is 5-0 for you. Logan Olson, he's 7-0 to start the season. Your pitching has been every bit as good as your bats so far.
I think probably our biggest growth this year has been on that pitching side. So, and that's kind of what I thought going in was we were going to have to really, not necessarily improve. We're just going to have to really grow and continue the learning process because a lot of these guys are new. And I don't care what Division I school you transferred from or what your high school accolades were. College baseball is a different beast, and if you haven't played a ton of college baseball, you just need to do it. You just don't know what you don't know until you get in and do it. And so the numbers are you know, arguably impressive. But I think probably the thing that continues to trend upward, I guess downward for us, however you want to look at it, would be our competitiveness in the strike zone. And we were given too many free bases to good clubs early in the year, and it bit us a couple times. But they've really started to, I think, come into their own and get some confidence and kind of realize that, you know, we've got some pretty good defenders behind us and we're going to score some runs, and I just need to do my part and attack hitters. And now I get grumpy with them and practice today or something like that. We'll talk about expanding the strike zone on purpose, because, like you said, there is some guys with some good stuff. But you hit the nail on the head. I mean, it's just one right after the other so far. That's probably what I enjoy most is being able to run one right out after the other, and the depth is as much as I've seen in junior college baseball.
Well, Ryan, it's great catching up with you. Hopefully we'll be talking to you more down the road as we get closer to a Memorial Day weekend, and hopefully you'll be back out. You'll be out here once again, and Iowa Western will be out here for the first time since 2019 playing in the JUCO World Series. I always appreciate it. Great talking with you once again, Ryan.
Yeah, look forward to it. Appreciate it, guys.
All right, Ryan Kogel, coach of Iowa Western. I keep wanting to say Yavapai.
Yeah, it's so strange. And I think I said John Wentz instead of Sky Smeltzer. I said, me.
You did. I just looked
it up. I had Arizona champion head coaches confused.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Sky Smeltzer, one of the great, great names to come here.
Yes, Sky Smeltzer, yeah. Great name. I got what the reason is, I think, is my favorite Mark Reardon story involves John Wentz.
When they both got tossed and they were on the bus.
Yeah, playing each other.
Yeah, listening to the game.
We together. Were doing
it together.
After they got...
They both got tossed.
Yeah.
You're gone. All right, 8:22, and it's time to play the Pile's favorite game on a Thursday, which is...
Yes, up for grabs today. It is the usual delicious case of New Belgium, courtesy of our friends at High Country Beverage. First correct answer on the text line, 970-242-1340, gets it. Couple things to keep in mind if you've won any time in the last 2 weeks. Sit it out. If you're under the age of 21, sit it out. This is an age-restricted prize. I have the highest WAR of any baseball player celebrating a birthday today. There's your first clue. That includes 9 games for the Colorado Rockies in 1995. I'm a 2-time Cy Young winner and a former World Series MVP. Who is it?
All right, so first correct answer wins. On the team line, 970-242-1340. All right, before we take a break, we have Sarah Kennedy with us from Grand Junction Parks and Rec. Sarah, how are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Doing fine. So we have Arbor Day, have the big festival coming up here soon. So that's part of the schedule for Parks and Rec. Tell us what's going on with Grand Junction Parks and Rec.
Yeah, so on Saturday, April 27th, down at Lincoln Park, we have activities going on from 9 until 5. Starting at 9 o'clock, we have hazardous waste recycling, which is light bulbs, battery, and paint. Also, silent auctions for trees. There's an arborist on site to teach you how to take care of your tree. And then 11 to 5, we have our craft beer festival, vendors, food trucks, and live music.
So, great way to help improve Mother Nature by planting trees and things like that, but also some great activities, both adult and kid-wise as well.
Yes, families definitely welcome.
So outside of Arbor Fest, what else do you have going on with Parks and Rec?
Our summer activity guide is going to be hitting mailboxes on April 26th, as well as live online, and then registration for that will open on May 6th.
All right, very good. So, and of course, you have the activity guide is out. It's also online as well.
Mm-hmm.
So people can check that out. But don't forget Arbor Fest. It's at Lincoln Park. What's the times for that, by the way?
So starting at 9 o'clock in the morning with the recycling and the Arbor Day activities, and then from 11 to 5 will be the craft beer festival and live music.
All right, very good. So make sure you put that on your calendar, Arbor Fest coming up over at Lincoln Park. And always go to the website for Grand Junction Parks and Rec to get the details. Sarah, appreciate the time. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back.
Sorry, I don't get a chance to play
a lot.
Don't
get a chance to play the Kennedy thing, and for Sarah, you get the chance to finally play that.
Kennedy!
Yeah. Sarah's like, what are you doing? What are you talking
no
about?
Idea.
Kennedy was a wrestler, a pro wrestler. We used to have a guy that worked here named Matt Kennedy, and we played for him every time he came on. So Sarah, I guess we'll save that for you the next time you come on.
It's the only Kennedy worthy.
Sarah's like, which? Where's the door? Which station am I going to next? Can I get out of here? All right. Thank you, Buckeye, for that. I'm sure Sarah appreciates that, too. We will take a break. We'll come back with Around the NFL. That's next.
It's a good show.
Probably the best show around.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Welcome back, Jim, along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. Most trust name in automobiles. You can text or call us on the team line, 970-242-1340. And looks like we have a winner for, who is it today, Craig?
We do.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the winner of the contest.
It's another winner on the Team Sports Network.
Mike, first in the door, identifying Brett Saberhagen.
Oh, yeah.
Turned 60 years old today, pitched 9 games for the Rockies with a 6.28 ERA. Who does he think he is? Kyle Freeland? Just kidding.
Sadly, got Brett Saberhagen way past the salad days of Brett Saberhagen.
Mm-hmm. He was 22 when he was World Series MVP, 1985.
And he was good early on.
He was good.
All right, 8:30. So looks like they're hoping to get back on the course at Augusta National because they had the weather delay. It's postponed the Masters. Well, at least the golfers were on the course.
We're waiting.
They were on the course. And so I'll give you an update coming up here in just a few minutes on.
Let's go,
the
Masters. Young.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. Okay, wow.
Not you. I'm talking the tournament. Let's go.
Jeez. Well,
soft.
Just back today and getting all kinds of abuse.
Yeah.
Seems so unfair. All right, so since we had Ryan Kogel on, decided to move around the NFL to this slot. It's time to go around the NFL.
The latest on the Broncos and the league. It's Around the NFL on the Jim Davis Show.
Okay, so let's dive into a couple of mock drafts briefly. Before there's more uniform news, by the way, for the NFL. So SB Nation, they have their mock draft, and they have the Broncos taking Bo Nix at 12. Okay, nothing we... But yes, we've already seen this from lots and lots of mock drafts. Mel Kiper has the Broncos going in a different direction.
Yeah, we talked about this a little yesterday.
Okay, if I'm stomping on...
No, you're totally fine, because we talked about... Is this the Mitchell kid from Toledo?
Quinion Mitchell from Toledo?
I was of the opinion, and I think Cake agreed, that if Mel Kiper doesn't have a lot of separation between Mitchell and the kid from Alabama, the corner, if you're going to go corner, why not take the one who played against SEC wide receivers?
Absolutely.
Like Neighbors and Thomas and all the others.
Which leads to another point of conversation about who the Broncos could take at 12 that's non-quarterback. A lot of really good wide receivers.
It's going to be a lot.
A lot of depth.
Figure if they don't want to move and other teams move ahead of them, they're probably going for quarterbacks. So there's going to be plenty of talent available at 12.
And you also have Riley Moss, who you took in the third round out of Iowa, that could play opposite PS2.
Yeah.
The Broncos also are taking a long look at Cooper DeJean, that played at Iowa as well. Mm-hmm. And so not just because they're Iowa guys and just because I was back there. Gene's also a really good. He's also a really good special teams player, which the return guy, which they already have that, obviously, and Marvin Mims as well. But Cooper DeJean's also a really good cornerback, and so is Riley Moss during his time. Do you need to go for a cornerback at 12? You have a lot of needs. Is that a? Doesn't hurt. I'm not saying that it would be a horrible decision, But is that a more pressing need than offensive tackle, quarterback, edge rusher? Is that a more pressing need than any of those three things I just mentioned?
I don't know. I also heard the Broncos are looking at Deacon Hill, by the way, because he's a quarterback out of Iowa, right? Scintillating offensive football out there.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding.
I was like, are you, I almost had to hit the dump button.
No.
Are you bleeping me? Have you seen that guy?
No, it was a joke. But it's when it comes to quarter.
Not a funny joke, by the way. Not a funny joke.
Yeah, a little bit. Colin McNamara is who they're looking at, really. Or Cade McNamara.
Cade McNamara.
Colin. Cade's younger brother, Colin. No.
Sure.
When it comes to corner, I don't know if you need to get one at 2 or 12.
I don't think you do. I just don't.
That's a can you can kick down the road, I think. Because, first of all, corner's not your pressing need defensively.
No.
And it's not even your pressing need on your team. You need a quarterback at some point. I still don't think it's Bo Nix because you have Bo Nix at home. I mean, kind of a little bit with a guy that's already played in the league.
We don't entirely agree on that. I do think they are different animals, but
we were looking. Bo Nix was asked to pass the ball to an extent of just 6 forward air yards per attempt this season. That was one of the lowest in FBS football of qualified passers. So I don't know what you're going to get out of Bo Nix at the pro level. J.J. McCarthy, not asked to do a ton at Michigan either, so it's not like he's one or head and shoulders above the other because I think all the other guys are going to be gone.
The thing about Bo Nix, is he more accurate and is he a better fit in what Sean Payton wants to do than Jarrett Stidham? Maybe. Possibly.
Is he going to be able to press the ball down the field enough for Sean Payton? I don't know.
But then again, they never asked Drew Brees to really, quote, press the ball down the field.
That's a fair point. I just don't know what his prospects look like at the next level.
Because if you want a guy that pressed the ball down the field, vertical routes, you had that guy.
Yeah.
His name was Russell Wilson.
Exactly.
That threw the ball down the field on vertical routes. It's about anticipation, it's about reading defenses, it's about the accuracy, it's about pocket presence. It's those are the things that Sean Payton is looking for in whoever it's going to be to replace Russell Wilson, whether it's Bo Nix, Michael Penix Jr., Jarrett Stidham, whoever the case may be. And is Nix going to be better than what they have in Jarrett Stidham? I tend to think so, but I don't say that with tons of confidence in my voice. I tend to think so. It's not a sterling endorsement
right of
Bo Nix. I think he's more accurate. I think he's a better fit.
Jarrett Stidham is more the devil you know.
Very true.
Because you've seen him. You've gotten at least 2 games coaching him. Bo Nix, not the case, and any of the other quarterbacks, obviously not the case. But I just feel like you're not going to have a ton of difference there. I think Bo Nix has probably better natural gifts, but I don't know if he's going to run the offense better than what you're going to get out of a Jarrett Stidham, who's been in the league for a couple of years, been around the block once or twice. Not to say that that's the reason he should be the starter. I don't think that's the case. But
Or does Michael Penix Jr. fall there?
I think he does. I think people are scared off by the injuries.
I think, and do you take the chance? And I thank you for the Broncos. Why not?
Sean Payton, that's something that I do believe, because who have we talked about linked with Sean Payton that he took a chance on with injury history?
That would be one Drew Brees.
Drew Brees, with the exception of breaking every rib that one year, was fine for most of the time. You know,
and then started to have the arm issues at the very end.
But if Sean Payton gets 5-7 serviceable years out of Michael Penix Jr. health-wise, I think he'll be all right.
But another one, don't fall asleep on Spencer Rattler. Not as the 12th pick.
Oh, no. But
don't fall asleep on him.
Yeah. It was the hardest interview to prepare for, after all. Yeah. Spencer said.
Because there are things in Spencer Rattler's game that do fit into what Sean Payton's looking for. So, and around the NFL has announced more uniform changes, or at least they're allowing some revision in the uniform policy. You can add a third helmet design now. So the additional helmet design was offered to teams going through a redesign process for 2024. Be open to all teams for 2025. And so the league updated the uniform policy in 2022 to allow the second helmet shell color. And so now they're going to allow other alternate color helmets that can be worn with one of the team's authorized optional uniforms, classic, alternate, and or color rush.
So is this a new helmet, or they can paint the old helmet differently again?
I believe this is a completely different helmet.
Because that was the holdup in, like, Patriot Pat, right? Because you weren't allowed to change the actual...
The concern was that players wear helmets, they get fitted to their head, yep. And there was the concern if we have them wear a different helmet, it's going
increases
to be...
Increases the risk of injuries.
Of a concussion.
So does the 17th
because,
game.
And then they've kind of then went back and said, well, it really isn't that big of a deal.
Right.
The data shows that it really isn't as big a problem as we thought it was.
And not to channel my inner Florio, but you can't add an 18th game while worried about, well, you can't have extra helmets because of concussions.
Exactly. So, at some point.
This is the path.
Exactly. See? We're not worried. We think you're going to be just fine.
We've made it healthier. We've made it safer. So here's an extra game.
And you can wear a third helmet if you want to. All right. That's around the NFL this morning. Should mention this for you.
Oh, okay.
Nobody else but just you.
Yep.
Nick Chubb agrees to lower his base salary and revised contract to the Browns.
Oh, nice.
So there you go. You got that.
He's not. He's going to get it whether he plays or not, and he's not going to play for a lot of the season. So,
all right.
Good for him, though.
So coming up, we have our team's Team of the Week brought to you by Rick Nelson, American Family Insurance. So we'll have that coming up in just a few minutes. I believe a repeat winner.
Yes, first time.
Okay. Coming up here in just a little bit. So we'll have that for you. Text or call us today on the team line, 970-242-1340. That's 970-242-1340. Trying to find my... Masters leaderboard. I had it and lost it.
I don't have the music, if that helps any.
You have the music.
No, I don't. I lost that as well.
Great.
So, well, I hit refresh and now I got another ad. So this is the fourth show this
tisk,
week where we use the radio announcers killing time.
Tisk, tisk, tisk.
Kind of what it is.
Well, there you go. You have it. It's
okay. I just need 15 seconds of fill, because that's how long the ad is.
Okay. I'm having issues with it here. Oh, it's okay. How about we do it on the
other
side?
After the break.
After the break, on the other side.
Perfect.
We'll do that, okay?
Yeah.
All right.
That works.
841. Coming up next, our team's Team of the Week brought to you by Rick Nelson, American Family Insurance. That's on the way on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
Good morning, gentlemen. What are the haps?
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team. It's the team's Team of the Week on The Jim Davis Show.
And our team's Team of the Week brought to you by Rick Nelson Agency and American Family Insurance. For a free comparison, call this team of licensed professionals at 970-241-0078. Our team's Team of the Week is 4-1 in the Mountain League right now. Grand Junction Tigers boys lacrosse for the second time this season. Our team's Team of the Week presented by Rick Nelson, American Family Insurance. With us right now, coach of the Tigers, Armando Renteria, also the brothers, Eddie and Stuart Dean. Eddie's a junior, and Stuart's a freshman for the Grand Junction boys lacrosse team. They join us right now on the team line. Thanks for coming on this morning, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah,
thank you.
Well, let's start out with you, Armando. Coach Renteria, your team coming off that win against Montrose, 18-9, and of course, in a big rivalry win a couple of weeks before that against Fruto Monument, or a couple of matches before that, I should say, against Fruto Monument. And it kind of feels like that after that win against Fruto Monument, that has kind of set the stage for this this push right now you're making in the Mountain League.
Yes, I think we're starting to mesh and we're starting to get all on the same page. we worked out some stuff internally, and I think it's all moving forward from here.
What do you feel like has been the biggest change in your team, Armando, you know, where you had, you know, guys talked about it, kind of sorted some things out? Where do you feel like you've seen the biggest change, the biggest progress in your lacrosse team?
I think the boys are just buying in, and, you know, we got a couple of new coaches joining our staff, and I think that bring a new energy, and that's what's helping us out.
I know that you've had great performances from a lot of different players. Maddox Castor in particular has been your leading goal scorer. Maddox has played really well for you this season.
Yes, I'm excited. I'm excited to see what Maddox can do from here on forward. He's our one lefty, and it's always good to have that lefty on your team.
Well, you came up with the 11-7 win against Fruit of Monument, and we'll switch it over to Eddie and Stuart Dean. And Eddie, let's talk about that. You played Boulder, which is a really good team. You played them that game before Fruit of Monument, lost a close one, 11-10. It kind of feels like maybe you built out the momentum of, even though it was a loss, but still the way you guys played against Boulder maybe helped to kind of fuel the fire a little bit in that rivalry matchup with the Wildcats.
Yeah, we definitely saw the potential that we had playing that game and taking that rough loss where we thought we played really well and there was just a couple things that were off. And then just working on stuff in practice and preparing for a big rivalry game. Like, we just came with the energy and we're ready to face Fruta.
We're talking with Eddie Dean of the Grand Junction Tigers boys lacrosse team. And let's go to that Montrose game. Eddie, very impressive performance for you. You got the hat trick, 3 goals. Paxton Weber, the freshman, had 4 goals. But you two were the guys finding the back of the net in that one against Montrose.
Yeah. Our team was clicking in that game, and I think we really found our stride offensively, moving the ball and finding each other open and doing a good job passing to us. My teammates were finding me for open shots that just made it easy for me to shoot it and get goals.
Eddie, your team right now, as I mentioned, 4-1 in the Mountain Conference. You have that one loss in conference play to Telluride. It's Mountain League's always tough. It's always a difficult league to win, but you guys right now are in a good position to challenge for a league title.
Yeah, we got a good schedule coming up, playing conference games, and we have some momentum going into those games, and I think we'll have a good chance to compete and hopefully push for a Mountain League title.
It's our team's Team of the Week, brought to you by Rick Nelson, American Family Insurance. It's the Grand Junction boys lacrosse team, as I mentioned, 4-1 in Mountain League play right now. We're talking with Coach Armando Renteria, also Eddie Dean, junior for the Tigers boys lacrosse team, and his brother Stuart as well, who's a freshman. And Stuart, what do you feel like, what's it been like to be out there with your brother playing on the varsity team? Chance to get out there and show your stuff as a freshman.
You know, they leave a good legacy, and just watching them play and being out there on the field and seeing how they move the ball and just their awareness is something that I hope that I'll be able to emulate as I continue to play. And yeah, it's good.
Stuart Dean and Eddie Dean and Armando Renteria of the Grand Junction boys lacrosse joining us. Stuart, you started on the JV squad as a freshman this year. You've been going back and forth between varsity and JV. What's the biggest difference when you step on the field against those varsity guys? You're like, this is different out here.
I think the difference between the two is the varsity players really want it. And so when you're up against other teams and it's their varsity squad, they really want to win, and it's a lot more fun to play against them because then there's a bigger competitive side of it. And
well, certainly you've got some really good players, some senior guys, obviously like Maddox Castor, Gavin Mottram, who has had a sensational season as well. He had 3 goals against Montrose as well. But, Stuart, you're part of a group with Paxton Weber, as I mentioned, a freshman, had 4 goals. Aiden Cassidy had a goal against Montrose as well. There's definitely a youth movement for Tigers lacrosse, a lot of freshmen, including yourself, that are part of the varsity program right now.
Yeah. Last year when we played Grand Valley, we had a pretty solid team, and we're looking to continue to keep that team working and getting better so that our Junction High School team will be best it can be.
With us today, it's our team's Team of the Week, Grand Junction Boys Lacrosse, with Coach Armando Renteria, also the brothers Eddie and Stuart Dean with us in the program. So your brothers, you play together, and we mentioned, Stuart, you've been going up and back and forth between the JV program and the varsity program. So how do you enjoy playing with your older brother? Are there times that your older brother kind of gives you the business a little bit, and you're like, man, when's he going to graduate? Is he a senior yet? Do you ever have those moments with your brother?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's hard because we like to do offense versus defense, but every opportunity that we get to go against each other is always fun. We're always talking smack and making it so that we're pushing ourselves to the best.
Eddie, you probably wish, man, kid brother, why does he have to be up on varsity, right? Does that happen for you?
No, I'm excited that he's gotten the opportunity to play both. I think it's great to play JV, but it's also good to get some varsity looks. And he's got a lot of potential, and he's shown that he can be really good, and he's going to be a really good player in the next couple of years for Grand Junction.
Okay, question for you, sibling rivalry here. Who's the better singer?
I think I'm going to have to take that one. I'm going to have the higher voice, and so I'm able to hit those notes that, you know, he just can't hit. But yeah, he's also a good singer. He can hit the low notes. So.
Okay, so it could be, you know, a nice little duet. You guys could compliment each other.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, for sure.
If you could sing a song together, what song would it be, and would you sing it for us right now?
My voice is a little tired. I don't know if I can sing right now, but I would probably have to choose. Go to the Disney song.
That's
a good Disney song.
Go to the Disney song. I'm a little surprised.
I'll make a man out of you from Mulan.
Okay. Wow. Well, if you want to sing
that's
great.
A good one.
If you want to sing it, you've got airtime right now. This might be the start of a recording career for you guys.
I don't know about that one. We're not the greatest singers. We might need a little like piano or guitar in the background.
Buckeye used to play drums in high school. I don't play anything, so you're kind of out of luck there. I'm sorry.
Acapella on this show.
Yeah, definitely acapella on this show. Who's the funnier of the Dean brothers?
I think it just depends on what it is. I think with school, Stuart's more pickier about like being super detailed about stuff, and then for me it's like for like lacrosse, I feel like there's a lot of picky things of like, oh, like I didn't pass it in the right spot. So I think there's a little pickiness with both of us, and we just want to get better and continue to like push ourselves to be as good as we can, and so being picky about little stuff on the lacrosse field is
okay, is
good to us.
I believe I did ask about who is funnier, but that's also a good answer as well. That works too. Who's the funnier of the two of you though? Who's got the better? Who's better at cracking jokes and making people laugh?
Definitely me.
Definitely you. Okay. All right.
But no argument though. It sounds like.
Apparently not. Apparently. You.
I'll let him have it. Yeah, I'll let him have it. He's funnier than me. I mean, I have my moments, but I would say he's way more of a funny social person than I am.
All right.
They both make the bus ride fun.
Sometimes Armando, they make it a little too fun, and you have to go, okay, guys, okay, Eddie, Stuart, settle down.
Help me when I'm driving.
Well, guys, we appreciate the time. Congratulations on being our team's Team of the Week. Armando Renteria, also the Dean brothers, Eddie and Stuart with us from Grand Junction Boys Lacrosse. Guys, we appreciate the time, and good luck rest of the way.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Thanks.
All right, take care, guys. All right, that's our team's Team of the Week.
Yeah.
That was good. I think he misunderstood my question.
It happens.
That's okay.
Speaker phones, you never know what you're going to get.
Yeah, so we know which one was pickier. Could we tell which one was funnier, though? I couldn't. Was it Eddie that said he was?
I think Stuart said he was funnier.
Stuart said he was funnier. Okay.